训。السلام عليكم وعليكم السلام. Is it inappropriate to read the translation of the Quran in a casual manner, as in to lay down and read? Barakallah fiq. Absolutely fine. It's absolutely fine for you to lie down and read the Quran, whether you are doing this in the Arabic language or you are reading the translation. First and foremost, we must know that the Quran, the translation of the Quran, does not carry the same ruling as the Quran in Arabic, meaning it doesn't have the ruling of the Mus'haf. It does not have the ruling of the Mus'haf. So if you don't have wudu, you may grab the English interpretation of the meaning of the Quran in English, whether it is by Muhsin Ali Khan and Taqiyuddin Hilali or by Sahih International. These are one of the better versions out there. There's no harm in you grabbing them and reading it without wudu, because it doesn't carry the ruling of the Quran, since it contains foreign material. The Quran in Arabic altogether, then there's a whole other discussion, and it's a whole other ruling. You must have wudu to touch the Quran. Either way, you know, we cannot say that it is haram. If you want to say it's inappropriate, it depends on the culture, because there's nothing in Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah which, you know, give us the scale with which we can level appropriateness. It becomes a cultural issue. If you are in a country where people consider it inappropriate for you to read the Quran while, you know, reclining on the couch or laying on your side, then you should avoid it in order not to cause fitna and in order not to stand out and be different from the people. If you are in a culture where this is the norm and you don't intend belittlement and degrading of the Quran, then inshallah ta'ala there should be nothing wrong with that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Next question: does Islam allow for gayism or lesbianism or bisexuality? Because I see that there are some that are openly gay or lesbian, especially on the internet. And why does Islam allow or disallow? Islam does not allow a person to be gay or lesbian, or let's just say homosexual. The reason why: because it is an abnormality. It is an abnormality in the medical world, it's an abnormality in the Bible, and it's an abnormality in the Quran as well. Allah created the creation with men feeling attracted and inclined towards women, and women towards men. It is the environment in which these people are brought up or raised, where they start developing this other kind of inclination, and they don't try to fight it off until they reach a point where they totally lose control of things, and they find themselves that they can only feel, you know, harmonious, or they're only compatible with someone of the same sex. But that is abnormal. I mean, let me give it to you in the most basic terms. Allah created the men with certain figure and the women with certain figure, and they are only compatible, a man with a woman and a woman with a man. It doesn't work any other way. Logically, physically, psychologically, spiritually, Islamically, biblically, in every way, shape or form, it is abnormal. It is only in recent times that the people have started to become very lenient towards homosexuality, that it has become, you know, they have their rights now and they're causing all this fitna. But in essence, even in the world, they didn't accept them before. And it was considered to be a disease and a sickness among the psychiatrists. So things are changing. No, Islam doesn't allow it, because it is against the fitrah of Allah. Allah did not create people in this fashion. They chose to be this way. If they have some physical abnormalities, and if they have some physical deficiencies, then this may be treated through medicine and otherwise. But to act upon such things and become, you know, in love or engaged or inclined towards the same sex, then this is something that is so severe that the people of Lut alayhi salatu salam, when Allah punished them, He punished them in a way which He didn't punish any other nation. They were punished in three ways. First, Jibreel, first there was the sayha, there was the scream, then Jibreel with his wing, he put his wing in the earth, and he took a chunk of the earth on which they lived, he raised it up to the heaven, turned it upside down, then he slammed them back down, then Allah sent birds which stoned them afterwards. This is how severe their punishment was. Because of this heinous, horrendous, abhorrent tendency to have, you know, relations and to be married or have relations with people of the same sex. Huge, huge punishment from Allah. Why? Because it's not something light. It is not something light. So, you know, Muslims need to fear Allah, and we don't have such thing. And a Muslim who has this inclination must seek treatment for his heart and for his body if necessary, but one is not excused to be a homosexual in any way, shape, or form. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Who is more important to a girl after marriage, husband or father? Well, both are important. However, once she is married, then her obligations toward her husband are in a sense that he tells her not to leave the house. And the father says, leave the house, then she must obey her husband. Because at that point, he is the one in charge of her. She is under his care. The Prophet ﷺ said, كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الرجل راع في بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته. He said, every one of you is a shepherd and he will be responsible for those under his care. The man is the shepherd over his household and he is responsible for those under his care. So it becomes his responsibility. However, you know, the father's rights are never to be compromised either. If there's a conflict, then it must be resolved, but ultimately that doesn't mean that a woman becomes undutiful to her father, because of her husband. Rather, her husband should help her be dutiful to her mother and her father, and they should try to lead a harmonious life as opposed to the life of disputation and fighting and argumentation, which only leads to breaking the kinship ties and destroying the family members. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Does being different from the disbelief make us Muslims look and appear racist? No, because race has to do with a racist person is a person who has enmity against and because of their skin color. Particularly, usually even race, different than discrimination or sexism, for example, it has to do with the people's skin color. So, for example, white people may be racist against black people, or black people may be racist against white people, or brown people may be racist against, you know, yellow people, and so on and so forth. It's usually associated with skin color, because of not necessarily, but I'm saying, the race usually is a group of people that are different from the rest. They have a common link between them. So it cannot be used in an Islamic context. Yeah, the yellow people, I believe, you know, in Arabic we used to call them as sufur, for the, you know, the from the people from the Orientals, I guess, or what they call them nowadays, like China and Japan and South Korea and the Korean people, usually are they called yellow. Wallahu a'lam. This is according to the Arabic information I learned in school. If I'm wrong, then, you know, then it's my fault. Anyways, so we are not racist. Okay, but Allah had made a distinction between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. In fact, Allah says in Surah Noon, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ It's an amazing ayat in the book of Allah. Allah said, shall we then treat the Muslims like the criminals? What is the matter with you? How do you judge? Allah is saying, shall we treat the Muslims like the criminals? What is the matter with you? How do we judge? How do you judge? Meaning that judgment is wrong. You know, it's biased. The Muslims are not like the non-Muslims in any way, shape, or form, and it is not a form of racism. It's just a reality that the believers and the disbelievers are on two separate ends. They are incompatible. Ones will be going to paradise, and the others will be going to the hellfire. And sufficient is that as a difference. Next, How can we encourage our youth to love the Quran and be enthusiastic about learning and memorizing it? Well, by making them realize that this is the speech of Allah. You know, when you listen to poets, if you maybe read Shakespeare's work, and if it is his, some recent articles I read alluded to the fact that maybe the common famous works of Shakespeare are not really his, but that's another discussion. When you read or listen to the statements of people that are pleasing to you, and unfortunately for those who are obsessed with songs, you will find that they love listening to a song, a particular song, because of the lyrics of the song, and they listen to it over and over, they memorize it. And it is the speech of a human being full of error, full of mistakes, full of nonsense usually, and it brings absolutely no benefit except igniting the desires and spreading false love between the people of opposite genders. If a person is able to develop such love and enthusiasm for the speech of a created being, then how can he not do something even much greater than that when it comes to the speech of the creator of the human beings? The speech of the creator of the languages, subhanAllah, the speech of Allah is the Qur'an. Allah spoke every word in the Qur'an. He gave it to Jibreel. Jibreel gave it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in fact, the Qur'an is the best speech, given and conveyed to the best messenger, through the best angel, to the best ummah. The author is Allah. The deliverer, if that's an English word, is Jibreel. The receiver is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the customers are the Muslims. There's no book that has this virtue. No book on earth that has this virtue preserved and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know if it's an English word. Look it up and let me know. Deliverer. But anyways, the one who's delivering it. In case it's not, give me a break. I told you I'm not a native speaker already. Anyways, so that is the Quran. That is the Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should be a natural, a natural consequence that we love the Quran so much because it has these wonderful qualities which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given it. Without the Quran, the message of Allah. Can a doctor become a doctor without learning the books of medicine, without understanding, without memorizing? No. So it is essential then that we familiarize ourselves with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can my sincere suggestion is listen to our brother Nu'man Khan, which I think they already play on Chat Islam. He has a wonderful tafsir of Juz' Amma. I think if you really listen to it, you will develop this enthusiasm and love to learn the Arabic language and learn the Quran, and you will see how beautiful the speech of Allah is, how intricate, how sophisticated, and how the choice of words is just something that cannot be explained in words. I cannot even begin to explain it to you. So maybe this is one of the means, inshallah, that will help you develop or encourage the youth to love the Quran in this fashion. Wallahu ta'ala alam. I think these will be the last question, inshallah, if you don't mind. Last question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A lot of people are now on summer holidays. What would you suggest students do to ensure they don't waste their summer? People take vacations from everything, but the only thing which you cannot take a vacation from is Islam. You can take a vacation from work, a vacation from school. You can even take a vacation from your spouse, to some extent, by visiting your relatives for a couple of days, in case there are some problems. Hopefully there aren't any. But one thing you cannot take a vacation from is your duties towards Allah. So how do you not waste your time? By fulfilling Allah's rights, by engaging in that which is expected of you as a Muslim. We have so many things to do, so little time. It doesn't make sense that we even find time to waste, subhanAllah. We have so many things to learn, so many things to memorize, kinship ties that we haven't been connecting for Allah knows how long, family members that we don't even bother to call, let alone visit, and many of us may be guilty of that, including myself, Allahumma musta'an. Many things which Allah owes us, which he has a right over us to do, which we are not doing. So what's summer vacation? What's summer vacation? If you have a summer vacation, it should be spent in fulfilling Allah's rights, which we have been abandoning at the times where we were busy with school or busy at work. It is a time to make up for our past and repent to Allah from it and return to the way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what is expected in the summer. Try to memorize something. Try to learn something. Try to get involved in some da'wah, da'wah conference or da'wah activity in any way, shape or form. Utilize the time in a manner that is befitting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there are two things which many people have a misunderstanding of. Many people are in, you know, lost concerning. He said one of them, as-sihha wal-waqt. It's health and time. We have time, but we don't use it to do things which are good. So if you simply utilize your time to fulfill the what is expected of you in Islam, trust me, you will hardly find enough time to do it unless Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates. Tayyib. So I believe that was the last, because it's already been an hour and maybe 20 minutes, hour and 17 minutes since I started speaking. And inshallah ta'ala, we are coming to the end of this session. Bi-idhnillah azza wa jal, if we all remain alive and healthy, we will continue next week inshallah, same time, with session 2 of the da'wah terminology. Jazakumullahu khayran jami'an. May Allah reward you all with goodness for your patience in learning the deen, and for all the beneficial answers you gave me. MashaAllah, I was very pleased to see that you have so many answers, and I benefited and learned a lot today. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.